How do you navigate in a world that it seems wasn't built for you? That question is at the heart of the new book, White Supremacy is All Around, Notes from a Black Disabled Woman in a White World by Akilah Kadee. Akilah is the founder and CEO of Change Kadee, an organizational development consulting firm, and was named a Forbes Next 1000 entrepreneur. Here she is to share five key insights from her book.
My name is Dr. Akilah Kadee, and I'm amazing. I'm known as the Olivia Pope of diversity because I handle shit and fix shit and get things done, but I'm really someone who is a dismantler of white supremacy. Why do I do that? And why do I do it from my home of Oakland, California? And why do I travel around the world and all over America to dismantle white supremacy? Because I, as a Black disabled woman, deserve to feel valued, seen, heard, and celebrated. I have a lot of insights that I would like to share from my book, White Supremacy is All Around, Notes from a Black Disabled Woman in a White World. So I'll give you a few. And the most important thing as we go into it is realizing that white supremacy is not a bad thing. Now, you may be thinking, why would I, a Black disabled woman, say that? And that's simply because when a white person drives down the street, they'll get pulled over by a cop and may or may not get a ticket. They won't be murdered or maimed, or even get a ticket or wrongfully prosecuted like me. Their blood pressure won't go up when an officer or cop or sheriff drives by. They'll be able to have the protection of white supremacy. It's also a wonderful thing because when a white person goes into an emergency room, their pain is believed, they're treated, they're valued, seen, and heard. For me, nope. As a Black disabled woman who goes into the emergency room with the rare conditions I have on my chart, in my file, through the notes, as a woman, I'm told, are you anxious? Are you stressed out? And as a Black person, my pain is not believed. And I'm a drug seeker. And as a Black woman, my pain is definitely not believed. And we can see that just through childcare in this country. In fact, white supremacy allows white women to be able to have babies in this country without thinking about who is the doctor and will I have to deal with proving my existence while I'm in labor? And what if the doctor that I built a relationship with isn't there? And what would happen if something happens to me or the baby, or when I say that I don't feel well, like Serena Williams, who I talk about in my book, they would be believed and taken care of and not end up with the rate of dying, either the mother or the baby, 3 to 4 times more than white women. White supremacy is being able to get a promotion without having to do a million jobs. And I can tell you that. It's also in the book about the 9-to-5 jobs I had and how I had to fit into a box. It was a lot. White supremacy is providing the structures and the systems, the policies and practices for white people to thrive in this country, in America, for white people. And so when I say white supremacy is all around, it's a way for us to acknowledge the importance of dismantling white supremacy, not for AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander supremacy, not for Black supremacy, but for all oppressed people, Black people, disabled people, women, non-binary people, the LGBTQ plus community, everyone, Black, Indigenous people of color, BIPOC, to receive the same as white people. That's what dismantling white supremacy is. So in a whole, white supremacy is a great thing because white people who benefit from white supremacy are able to thrive in this country. They're able to succeed in this country. They're able to have that American dream without the layers of oppression in which we deal with. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is our intersectionality and the importance of our intersectionality. Now, what is that? It's a term coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, and it talks about the intersections of our identities that make things great or not so great, typically not great. So if you think about a bus going down the street full of people, And that first intersection, let's just say, is women. All the women would have to get off the bus. If the next intersection is for disabled people, all the disabled folks would have to get off the bus. If the next intersection is for the LGBTQ plus community, then those folks would have to get on the bus. So ultimately, at the end of that destination of that bus, you would have heterosexual, cisgender, non-disabled white men who have the most power with how white supremacy works in this country. Those intersections where people have to get off, that's where they're not getting the same benefits of those who make it all the way to the end, who have the most power and privilege in this country. So it's really important to understand intersectionality. And that is why I talked about intersectionality in my book, As a Black Disabled Woman. Now, I am always those three things. I am always Black. People can see my beautiful Black skin. I am always a woman. People can see that I identify as a heterosexual woman, cisgender woman. And people can see my disability some of the time or not. It's always with me because I have visible and invisible disability or dynamic disability, where sometimes I need an assistive device like my really cool cane that you can see on the cover, and sometimes I don't, but I'm always in pain and I'm always disabled. I share stories of my intersectionality for people to learn and unlearn. And that's the third theme, to learn and unlearn. We have to continuously learn and unlearn. Now, learning is easy to understand because we've all gone to some type of school, whether we learn from our caretakers or parents or traditional school pathways. We know how to learn, but we do not know how to unlearn. Unlearning is a challenge. Unlearning is realizing we all don't know what we don't know. Unlearning is realizing that what we thought was right and true, in fact, is not. So for example, Columbus Day. Columbus Day is also Indigenous Peoples Day too. So some people have been unlearning what they thought was right and true about Columbus and really realizing through that unlearning that there was a lot of genocide that was happening. There was a lot of horrible things that were happening to Indigenous peoples of this country. Learning and unlearning is continuous. I'm a foremost expert in the world around white supremacy and diversity, but I am constantly learning and unlearning because it's a gift. Now, I have a little bit of the cheat code of experience, and that's because I am a Black person in this world. I'm a disabled person in this world. And so I've had to experience more oppression. I've had to learn how, at a young age, how to adapt to white dominant culture. So for example, in my preschool, there were two Black kids, and one was my twin sister. When my eighth grade class graduated, there were about four Black kids, and one was my twin sister. So I was always part of the oppressed group. I wasn't part of the dominant culture. So I do have more experience with unlearning. I do have more experience with learning to be part of the dominant culture, to be able to thrive. Which leads me to the fourth thing, which is white supremacy is all around. So how are you acknowledging your power and your privilege when you realize that white supremacy is all around? It's in our textbooks. It's at the hotels we stay at. It's the airport. It's our jobs. It's the coffee shop. It's everything. It's everywhere. So how are you using your power and privilege knowing that white supremacy is all around? So let's talk about privilege for a second. Privilege is both earned and unearned. Unearned privilege is given to you, I like to say, in the words of Lady Gaga, born this way. How did you come into this world? Did you grow up in a middle upper class family? Did you have both of your parents? Did you have access to wealth, a house? Are you someone with a lighter complexion, or are you one of the white ethnicities that gets more power because of the structure of white supremacy in this country? How did you come into this world? Are you handsome? Are you beautiful? I mean, I have pretty privilege. Thanks to my parents, I am a looker. And I know what that can afford me. So when we think about what our privileges, what we were given through our DNA, what we were given through our caretakers, through our parents, that has set us up for the benefits of white supremacy, we can understand how to use that privilege for ourselves and for other people. Now, privilege is not just unearned, it's also earned too. Earned privilege is being able to acquire access to a company, a space, a learned language, a country. You're able to either build off of your unearned privilege or do it yourself. So for example, I was born with multiple rare conditions, but I wasn't diagnosed with them until about 7 years ago. And so for me, earned privilege is the protection of the American Disabilities Act. There are people who were born disabled, and that was part of their unearned privilege that was given to them. I'm still learning and unlearning what that means for me to be disabled in this country. I'm very proud to be disabled. But I'm also realizing and learning and unlearning that I have privilege within my disability community, earned and unearned, to advocate for those who are disabled, also earned and unearned. And a lot of that is centered around the fact that I am beautiful. So the thing with disability is that people want to deem me disabled. They want me to look a certain way, talk a certain way, walk a certain way, or use a certain assistive device that deems me worthy of the privilege, the earned privilege I have as a disabled person. So I sit in the intersectionality, see what I'm doing here? I sit in the intersectionality of both visible and invisible disability, pretty privilege, stylish pretty privilege for being disabled, where I can get into spaces where my fellow disabled community can't get into, and I advocate them. I use my privilege to advocate for them. I use my power and privilege to have, I'm on the cover looking amazing with my cane because I'm bringing in all parts of my intersectionality, but I'm helping dismantle the myth around what disability looks like. So what are you doing with your power and privilege? How are you waking up every day, brushing your teeth, putting on your deodorant, and checking your bias and checking your privilege? How are you advocating for yourself and others? Which leads me to my last point, which is important when we think about our key insights, is that it is free 99 to apologize. You're probably like, Dr. Cadet, why are you talking about apology? Well, with all the things that I shared with you, learning and unlearning, intersectionality, power and privilege, and the list goes on, we all don't know what we don't know. As I shared earlier, we all don't know what we don't know. And so we're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. Big time expert, Forbes list, Akilah makes mistakes, but I have no problem apologizing for any harm that I have caused. I have no problem from continuously learning and unlearning so I don't do that moving forward. And I have no problem realizing that one person who may have similar intersectionality to another person can be completely different. And so apologizing is free 99. That's a way to hold ourselves accountable so that we can act every day. Accountability, communication, and transparency. How am I holding myself accountable for what I'm saying and doing and showing up and being active? Moving past allyship, because allyship is, it allows for comfort. And being someone who is an advocate, an accomplice, an activist, who's daily changing and doing the work, apology is a big part of that. How am I communicating, I don't know what to do? Or how am I communicating, this is not okay for me or for another oppressed group? And how am I being transparent with how I feel? I feel like me personally, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable, but a lot of people reading this book are not comfortable being uncomfortable, regardless of how they identify, regardless of their intersectionality. And so as we're realizing that apology is free 99, as we're realizing that our how we act every day, accountability, communication, and transparency, it can bring us to this position of realizing that our goal is to be comfortable being uncomfortable so we can do the work that is needed to dismantle white supremacy. Now, if you didn't get anything from what I just shared today, just know that you have a choice. You have a choice of how you show up every day. And that choice can dismantle white supremacy so all oppressed groups can have the same thing as white people, or that choice can be to further perpetuate and uphold white supremacy so that I will constantly be viewed as less than, and other oppressed people will be viewed as less than. So I want to leave you with this. With this work, with this time, with this energy, remember to give yourself grace. But more importantly, as I told you in the beginning, I'm amazing, and I want you to keep being amazing.
Thank you, Akilah. That was 5 big ideas from White Supremacy is All Around, Notes from a Black Disabled Woman in a White World by Akilah Kadeh. You might also like our book bite for Against Techno-Ableism, Rethinking Who Needs Improvement by Ashley Shu. I'm Michael Kavnak. Thanks for listening.